This is Donald Hussig with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. I am just so happy to have the lady on the phone that's giving me this interview today. Her name is Lisa Lovell. I met Lisa when I was, you know, getting into being a congressional candidate. I am the Green Party congressional candidate in the NY21 race. This is basically the Adirondack Mountains and the St. Lawrence River Valley of upstate, you know, way upstate, the North Country they call it, upstate New York. And let's just talk about how you came to discover that I was running, and then we came gradually to discover that we were both, you know, animal activists. You are much more into the animal activism than I, and I'm getting into it more in having, you know, met you. And just, you know, let's talk about first, you know, how we came to know each other.
We're both equally trying to help. I don't consider myself more of an activist, because you certainly, Donald, do so much with the good information you put out that helps the earth and the animals and the people. So we're all just trying to help. But thank you for that. And let's see, I read about you in the Press Republican, running for a congressional position in the Congress under the Green Party. And I read about you interested in promoting information, putting out information about chemical pollutants in the environment that cause cancer and loving the earth. And I was at work and I was like, wow, who is this guy? You know, nobody ever talks about that. We don't ever hear about that. And certainly the Republican, Doheny and Owens, had never addressed issues with the environment. So I called you, and that's how it started. I saw your picture, and I looked you up in the phone book, and I'm not sure if I left a message. I think I left a message, and maybe you called me back, or...
Yep, well, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was so cool. You know, I'm quite certain this is correct, that you were the first person that saw media coverage of my campaign and then called me up, you know, that had no, you know, we had never talked before, we didn't know each other at all. It was totally created by the media coverage of the campaign. And the fact that you were an activist, see, that is what really kind of got this going, you know, to be where we're at right now, in having already, you know, really done some pretty cool stuff together.
Yeah.
The thing that you were an activist and I was, see, I look upon myself, I think of myself as a cancer prevention activist, you know. I've always, I started this group, our group, the reason I am, you know, a cancer prevention activist and the reason that I'm, you know, running for Congress and these things is because of my inclinations to be an activist, you know. I started this group, Cancer Action NY, way back in January 2000, and it's all about, you know, doing things, being active, you know, kind of what activists do, this thing of like kind of drawing attention to serious, major, important issues by doing stuff, you know.
Yeah, and speaking out, writing,
Well, when you, like, you know, made it very clear to me that you were an animal protection activist, you know, that was just like, I just thought, yes, here we go. Now there's people that I can work with that we will do exciting things, you know, we will just be out there. So let's
together.
See, how did it evolve, you know? What were like the early stages? Because, you know, I don't want to jump all the way to our, you know, our first big premier kind of activist type thing, you know, because there was stuff in between there, you know. Let's talk about the issue of the factory farms, you know, the dairy farms. See, let me give some background here.
We did go to the fair. Remember, I think
That's right. Let me give a little bit of background here.
Okay.
St. Louis County is part of the 21st Congressional District. Clinton County is part of the 21st Congressional District. Essex County is part of the 21st Congressional District. Let's see, then it's Franklin County and Jefferson County and Washington County and Warren County. It's huge.
Clinton County, yep.
Very huge. And the point of this, you know, this hugeness is very huge when you think about dairy production.
Yeah.
Dairy farming is a very big business.
Yeah.
It's factory farming is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Thousands of cows, you know, on many of these farms. You drive these highways of the 21st Congressional District, and you see these huge, huge barn after barn, and the thousands of cows in there, and you smell the horrible smell,
yes.
Manure pit. So it's a big deal. And it goes on. Clinton County is very big in dairy farming. St. Lawrence County is very big in dairy farming. The Washington County's got a lot of dairy farming. The Franklin County's got a lot of dairy farming. The Jefferson County's got
Essex,
a lot of dairy farming.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. This is a really, really major issue for my congressional district. And so just you jump in now and just speak to the listeners from your heart about what we were talking about when we first started talking about your experiences on the factory farms, the factory dairy farms. You know, share with us some of your experiences, you know.
Yeah, my experience after living up in the North Country for the last 20 years is that cows, dairy cows, most animals consumed for food, used for food, are kept inhumanely and treated with complete indifference to their suffering. But specifically dairy cows, as far as I can see, are kept in what I call stuff and suck barns, in manure pits. They are forced, these animals, in these overcrowded barns to wallow through and tread through and stand in their own urine and manure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forced to breathe in the stench of their own waste, are forced through the use or treatment, actually I should say the treatment of, they receive treatment with the artificial bovine growth hormone to produce these huge amounts of milk, hugely unnatural amounts of milk, milked 2 and 3 times a day. I know that horses experience hoof rot from standing on wet ground, but these cows in these manure pits, we call them, are denied access to dry ground, so their feet rot. And they're also kept, like I said, in their own urine and waste without being allowed to spread out onto green grass. Many of them live their whole lives just living in their own waste, never seeing the light of day, continually eating whatever's in this silage that they feed these animals instead of allowing them out into the fresh air and sunshine. And then when these cows, and I've seen one recently that was just an old, very tired dairy cow looking so sad, her whole life she had literally just been used for milk production, and I saw them backing her out, trying to back her out, and her legs were bowed and buckled, and you could just see in her face that she was very, very, very sad, and it's very heartbreaking. What is going on with these animals? They are literally milked to near death.
Milked to death. That's it.
Well, no, I'll tell you, they're not milked quite to death because, like Walter Stanley down the road says, Walter Stanley, I heard him at Christopher Chevrolet laughing with Skip Babcock, who is a salesman there, laughing, and I thought they were telling a joke, but I listened to their conversation. Walter Stanley's a man that hauls livestock, Stanley Livestock, and he hauls these animals down to the slaughter factory, and he was joking about how much meat McDonald's sells, and he was laughing about these animals. He said, and I quote, you got to get them down there before they stop breathing because they ain't worth nothing if they're not breathing. This is the attitude of the people that keep these animals. The animal is about nothing other than maximum production and maximum dollar bottom line money. That's it. So when these animals are near exhaustion, and if they are crippled and they're down and they can't stand up, I'm certain that they're dragged. I've seen videos on television. We all know what happens to cows that are called downer cows. They don't pick them up and gently put them into the slaughter truck. They drag them, and then they're sent to the slaughterhouse. And God only knows how they get them off the slaughter truck into the slaughter horror house. But the point is that there is an incredible amount of suffering going on when we consume products that come from these animals. Their babies are pulled from them. They're artificially inseminated. The babies and the mothers never get to see each other. It's just a very dirty, bad industry. And there's a lot of suffering that the dairy people don't want you to see. They show happy cows jumping around and happy cheese faces and happy milkshakes. The cows that are used for dairy, and even the beef cows, all of them, suffer. They suffer, simple, plain and simple. They suffer.
Yep.
They're forced
and,
to reap.
And what it is, you are an animal angel. You're an animal angel, and I'm I was born that way too, you know. I have a huge inclination of me to be an animal angel, and I'm getting more into it in having been doing stuff with you now. This
yeah.
thing of wanting to somehow do something about the suffering of all of these hundreds of thousands, you know, just a huge number of cows, you know, good old cows that, you know, are just these beautiful, really quiet, kind of really calm,
yeah.
spirited, just beautiful, good animals, you know, that actually make wonderful pets, you know. I've had them for pets, you know, way
yeah.
up, you know, on our farm. You know, we had cattle,
yeah.
and we just
yeah.
liked them, and we, you know, took care of them, and they got old. A cow, a dairy cow can live to 20-some, you know, 20-plus
yes,
years, you
Donald.
Know, if they're taken care of, like, a you
yes.
know, an animal deserves to be taken care of, you know. They're
yes.
an animal. They're a living being, and, you know, what you're saying here, it's just kind of like causing me to see a little red here, you know, just thinking about what has been going on in all these years.
It's awful.
It just keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting
yeah.
worse. That's a thing that
yeah.
I feel really, really pissed about. This thing of it used to be, I remember back when I was a little kid, like maybe 5, you know, going up to like 10, 12, I remember the dairy farming that was being done by my aunt and uncle down in Ohio.
Yeah.
They had like a handful of cows. I think it was around maybe like 10 cows.
Yeah.
They milked them by hand.
Yeah.
The cows, they were so happy, you know. They got out in grass. They just, you know, they would be free all the time, except right when they were just there in the stanchion being milked,
yeah.
and then they're out having their normal, reasonable life, you know. Their calves were right there in the barn. They would just bring them over and let them nurse on the cow. You know, they'd be milking it some. The calf would get some. It was all so much better.
Yes.
And here we go. Then as I got a little older, I remember visiting farms, you know, because we were farmers. We had
yes.
we had registered Holstein cattle. My dad was a veterinarian. We wanted
yep.
to do some farming. So we were up
yep.
here in New York, and that farm was down in Ohio. So we started our own little farm.
Sure.
We had registered Holstein cattle. I went to farms with my dad looking for calves to buy and, you know, get our
yep.
farm going. The
yep.
farms were like maybe like, well, 50 head of cows, you know, maybe 50
yeah.
cows. And
yeah.
then here we are, like maybe 10 years later or so, and it just gradually keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
And we're up to like 200 cows,
yeah.
and then 600 cows, and then 1,000. Every bit of that is nothing other than evil. Evil.
Yeah.
Greed for money, not caring about those cows at all, making it worse and worse for them every minute of all those years going by.
Yeah,
you know?
Numbers are dollars. Yeah.
Yep. And so
yeah.
let's just tell me. That's just, I want the listeners to hear about some of the actual specific experiences that you had on some of these farms. You know, just cast your mind back through some of the visits that you've made to dairy farms. Remember that one about the little calf with the flies all over it? You know, just,
yes.
just talk to me and, you know, the listeners about some of the specific experiences that you've had on the dairy farms of the 21st Congressional District here in New York State.
Well, most recently in Warren County, in a town called Fort Ann, on my way up from trying to meet you down in Queensbury, I stopped at a farm along the road. I would say, maybe roughly 2 miles south of Walker's, which is a feed supply store on Route. Is that 9, Donald, that runs through
yep.
from
nine
Whitehall? Route 9N, I believe, or maybe even Route 4, but either way, it's right off the main road, and it's a barn where they keep cows, and they also, I saw a female cow with a massively huge udder. Anyway, I pulled off the road to just to check it out and to talk with someone about their animals and how they keep them. I believe I spoke with a veterinarian there. There was a white car pulled off the road, and I asked him if I could speak with someone about the cows, and he said the owner would be inside. Of course, the barn, it was a beautiful sunny day, lots of green grass, acres and acres for as far as your eye could see of beautiful green grass. But like many of these places that keep these animals, this was what I call a manure pit, a urine and manure pit, down below ground level. And then there was a section that was filled with manure that was fenced off, but a very small section up at almost road level. And So he told me the owner would be around or inside or something. I saw a guy way out on a tractor. I said, thank you. I walked down into the ground, the below ground area, and I found, now it's a beautiful sunny day, but I found in this dark, stench-filled manure, it was like a cellar almost, a basement, a rundown basement, cows. One of them was, the cow with the large udder was tethered to the wall. There was another cow laying down in metal. They were metal, like stanchions. Is that the word, stanchion?
Stanchion.
Stanchion, yeah, a stanchion, metal stanchions. There was one cow laying down facing the cement wall. There was another one with a large udder tethered to the wall opposite her. And there were stanchions, metal stanchions, back about 50, 25 or 30 yards to a door that opened out into the next manure area, but nothing giving these cows access to the green ground. And there were cows that were either tethered to the walls in the dark in this, it reeked of urine and manure. And this one cow that had her udder full was tethered to the wall. And then as I walked a little bit in and then I walked a little out, and as I walked out off to the right, there were two baby calves. One of them, they were very young. One of them was facing away from me. And the other one was covered with flies. And they were just laying down on this, it looked like a mixture of sawdust and manure, but it was so wet and brown that it was more manure than anything. The one little one closest to the door as I walked out on my right was covered with flies. The other one didn't turn around to look at me. But the mother, who had the full udder where these babies should have been, was standing about 20 feet away. So I walked up these steps back up to the ground level, which was still a good, you know, couple of feet below the road level. I walked up about 6 feet and spoke with this man who was a veterinarian, and asked, told him there was nobody in there, asked if he knew of anybody. At this time, a man came out on a tractor, a young boy came out on a tractor and looked at me with a very kind of, didn't look happy to see me, didn't smile, I kind of waved. He got off his tractor, came around, closed the door behind him, and asked me if he could help me. And I said, yes, I'm just here to talk about your cows. And I said, I'm looking for the owner. He goes, well, I don't know, how did you get in or something? I said, well, this man said that there was an owner around, and I was looking for, you know, somebody to talk to. He got back on his tractor, did his thing with the cows, and I could see an electric wire that was that crossed the area where these cows would be able to get out. Anyway, there was a whole bunch of them packed in there. He came out to the truck, and at this time, I guess his father or the actual owner, the elder, Getty, came over, and we started talking about his cows. And I asked them why they weren't out on green grass. I told them that there were cows down there that really, you know, would like to be out in the fresh air, and whatever. We got into it. The conversation didn't go very well. I asked them if the one cow was treated with, had been treated with bovine growth hormone, and he said no. I asked him if the cows were nursing, and he said they were just born. They were newborns. I said, well, do you know one of them is covered with flies? And anyway, the conversation went badly quickly. He just pretty much told me to get the F back in my truck. That he denied the cow being baby cow being covered with flies, and didn't address the issue of the bovine growth hormone. He just didn't answer that question, and told me, oh, I know, that the young gentleman that came off of the tractor told me that the cows didn't want to be out on the green grass because it was too hot. That was his answer for my asking him why the cows on a beautiful sunny day were not out on green grass, because they didn't want to be outside. Of course, they had no way of getting out, but they didn't want to be outside on a hot day. And, of course, it was beautiful. There was a beautiful breeze. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was lots of green grass. And these animals were kept, as so many of them are that I see, in these dank, stinky, manure-filled, wet urine-saturated manure pits. So that was it. I left. He said that I was there to confront him, which I was. But as soon as he got angry with me about telling him about the baby cow with flies all over him or her, he became belligerent and said, "There is not," and accused me of wanting a confrontation and told me to get the F back in my car. And I left my literature for him from Farm Sanctuary and probably from Gentle Barn and everybody else that I could gather, and left it there. And left, got in my vehicle, and I know that he took my plate number down, and I left. I drove away.
Yep, and so you just kind of feel like that you did the right thing. You know, that's, you know, this thing of speaking. You know, even though, you know, it seems like that guy just will continue, and he is. We're pretty certain. You know, it's pretty certain that that's the same situation. Like right down there, right today. You know, there's animals in those barns that are just like, you know, just
lingering, yeah.
In there, just suffering. You know,
they've
got too much milk in their udders, you know, because
yes.
You know, if they are using the bovine growth hormone or whatever they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
The dairy cows of today, even the ones that aren't being given the bovine growth hormone, they've been bred and bred and bred, you know, with the intention of getting more milk until the cows, you know, even without the bovine growth hormone, they have huge, uncomfortable udders, you know.
Yes.
And they push them with these high concentrated feeds, and it makes them make more milk that is normal. You know, it's just all suffering. Cows are suffering. They're, the flies are there. The stench of the urine and the manure is there. The darkness, you know, the confinement, you know, everything that wants to live that way, you know. Anything reasonable at all, you know.
Yeah,
the public
doesn't see that at the end of these animals' lives, depending upon how exhausted they are from the level of milk, anything more than a few quarts, I imagine, is, you know, I don't know exactly how much a baby cow should drink in order to have the baby cow properly weaned, but certainly it's not gallons and gallons, I wouldn't think, but 20,000 pounds of milk for one cow in a lifetime. So eventually these animals become exhausted and tired, and they can't produce anymore. And
the fact of the matter is it's 20,000 pounds of milk per year. That's the reality horrendous the huge quantity that they drag out of these poor animals is.
Yeah, what happens when these animals, these female cows, are too lame and crippled and weak to stand? What happens when they are just so exhausted from being forced to produce these huge, unnatural amounts of milk that they can't walk, or they're lame, or they're crippled, or they're down? And then what happens? And then after they've spent their entire day in and day out never bonding with their babies, never seeing their babies, living 24/7 eating and producing milk, that's all they do, breathing in the stench of hundreds of other cows around them, mostly with their feet rotten because they can't lay down, they have no access to dry ground, then what? Then they're dragged into the slaughter truck? Are they prodded with electric shock prods, the Tractor Supply cells that you can turn up to 50 volts to shock them? How do they move these huge animals that are exhausted and tired and depressed and crippled and in pain? This is really very serious.
This is, it's as bad as anything ever is bad.
These,
you know,
animals were put here to share this earth, and karma is very real. That's all I can tell people. Karma is very real. And God knows who is cruel, and God knows who is kind and compassionate and humane. And God clearly knows who is indifferent to the suffering of mother pigs in gestation crates that spend their entire short two-year lives being impregnated, never being able to move. You know, it's endless. So that's it. I'm sorry. I just got off on a little tangent there.
This is the real stuff. This is the realities. Of course you are excited and angry about this.
Yeah.
Because you're a normal, reasonable human being. Every normal, reasonable human being should be excited and angry about this.
These animals are scared.
If only there were more people like you and like me, this would never have become this way. The very proof that there aren't very many of us right now is that this has come to be this horrible, that it just kept getting worse and worse, and nobody stopped it, you know.
Yeah.
But I believe in there being a time. There's always a time it comes. The time it comes, you know. And I believe deeply, Lisa. I believe deeply that these are the days of bringing an end to this abuse of those cows, you know, and
yeah.
the pigs, everything, you know.
Yeah.
It's coming out. The truth.
See, these people are greedy. This is the most disturbing thing of all, is that these animals producing all of this milk and having their babies torn from them and the little babies never being able to nurse from their mothers, which is why God gave mammals the milk in the first place. What these guys see are big checks coming in so they can buy more big tractors and more farm equipment and keep all these big farm equipment outfits going and buy more trucks and more this and more that. And the babies and the mother cows, they're completely innocent. They're completely, they have no choice. They have no voice. They have no say. They only do as they're told and forced to do every single day. And sadly, from what I can hear from many of these people that keep these animals, I don't even call them farmers because they're not. They're just money grubbing, whatever they are, is that what am I trying to say?
They're doing it only for money.
Oh, no.
They're doing it because they're
crazy. They don't even like, Donald, they don't even like cows. My friend Josh McCray, who lives in Vermont, he admits to me, and Pete McEwen, who I used to work with, you should hear the almost hatred they have. These dumb effing animals, they're so stupid, these cows. You know, they don't even like the animals that they're in charge of, taking care of. They don't even like them, you know?
They're just more suffering. Can you imagine being taken care of in that horrible way by people that don't like you? It's like like in a Nazi prison camp, ready to be killed.
This little baby calf turned around and looked at me, literally looked at me, turned her little head around like, are you going to pick me up and throw me? Are you going to hurt me? Or are you going to take me home and protect me?
Yep.
I mean, I'll always remember that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. It's just a reality of what we're dealing with. You know, of course,
this
a normal person would cry about that. It makes you want to scream, too, you know, and do everything imaginable that a human being could do, you know, just to try to bring it to an end, the horrible mess.
I'll tell you what, I could have stolen that little cow. I could have taken both of those little baby cows, maybe, and I don't know. If that other guy wasn't there, oh, I don't know what would have happened. But anyway, so that's the story. That's one of the stories. There are mice in laboratories. There are dogs in shelters. There are cats. It's endless, Donald, you know?
It's endless.
I mean, really.
The abuses that bad people will do to poor, innocent animals, you know. The animals, they are so full of love, and they're so good.
Yeah, they are.
I've never seen...
They're so gentle and helpless.
There's so little kind of like bad behavior in animals. I've been around animals so much, and the dogs and cats, the cows, the pigs, all of them, they are so good intentioned.
So
they put all of us to shame, you know.
Yes, they do,
so
Donald.
Gentle and good intentioned.
Yes. That's
true.
They
do
they
it
put
over
humans
and
to shame. Many, many humans. Yep, that's the truth right there.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. Let's talk about now what we have begun to do together
to
bring
Occupy
an end to this. The Occupy. Let me give you a little background on that.
Yes.
There is the Occupy Wall Street. There have been some Occupy other parts of America. But there actually has been, the word Occupy McDonald's has been used before, you know, that phrase. Because it's my understanding from looking on the YouTube and looking on the Internet that there have been some McDonald's down near Wall Street that were occupied for various reasons as part of the Occupy movement down in New York City. But my idea of the Occupy McDonald's, when it came to me, you know, out of the blue, I'd never heard of an Occupy McDonald's. I got to thinking, hey, McDonald's is ground zero. This is a place where the animal fat is fed to the human beings, and the animal fat, see, my focus on this has been a lot about chemical contaminants of animal fat.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, here it is. The people that are eating the PCBs and the flame retardants and the dioxins and the old pesticides like DDT and the Myrix and toxaphene, those people that are eating those chemicals in those hamburgers that have a whole lot more animal fat in them than they would have except for the greed of McDonald's.
Yeah.
That is a place to speak out about these carcinogens and chemicals that cause many other diseases like heart disease and diabetes, McDonald's are the place to speak out. And so I
Absolutely.
Went to the McDonald's in Potsdam, New York. The village of Potsdam has a McDonald's right on Market Street, right on this Route 56, major New York State route. Went in there with a three-fold display board. It said POPs, persistent organic pollutants, POPs, cause cancer. And I just started talking to people that were in there. And I had a cameraman there. He was in our cancer. He's in our cancer group. He starts shooting video. And I've been trying to put my YouTube up on, you know, my video up on YouTube. And I still haven't succeeded in getting it up. I don't know what's going on, whether YouTube is unwilling to have anything this, you know, high-powered and intense out there or what. But I put it up, and it didn't end up there, you know. So I'm working on that. But let's talk about now the Occupy that we did down in Ticonderoga on a Friday in the month of, I think it was like, wasn't it in, it was in October. It was in October.
Yeah.
It must have been in October. I think it was very, maybe like the first Friday in October. I can't remember what day it was.
Before the, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to interject one thing about, and we've already talked about this, but before the snow flies, I would like to have a reworked three-fold display to go up with you to Plattsburgh.
Yep.
Okay.
For sure.
So, yeah, we're going to do that.
We will certainly, because there's that Route 3 that runs down from, like, say, Saranac Lake then to Plattsburgh. And, boy, once you get any place near Plattsburgh, there are an endless number of places where they're selling animal fat.
Yes.
Both your issue about the poor animals that end up being turned into that, you know, that hamburger and hot dogs and all this stuff, and my issue about the poison in this hamburger and hot dog because of the contaminants of the animal fat.
Exactly.
There are so many places that we can stop at. We'll get a world record for, you know, Occupy this and that, dealing with these two big, terrible big issues, you know.
So our baby
Plattsburgh,
Occupy
for sure.
in Thai was the maiden voyage, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know.
Yep, so let's just lay it out for them. You know, how, you know, basically.
Well, we met at McDonald's.
I think, what was it? Was it seven or eight different places, you know? It was cool, you know. It was so cool. We just.
The whole town.
Started off in Ticonderoga. This is Ticonderoga, New York. It's right down in the southern part of Essex County.
Yep.
And so what we decided
Home
was that
of the future slaughterhouse, Adirondack Meat, is going to be getting a $900,000 grant from the state or the whoever it is to open up a slaughterhouse.
Wow.
Ticonderoga.
So, see, there you go. There you go. This problem we're talking about is actually growing. It's going to be a bigger problem because people don't care and they're not doing anything about it. You know, we're starting to do something about it. But the problem is obviously getting bigger if they're building a huge new slaughterhouse down there. This is in the cards, you know, unless the people. And so basically, this interview, Lisa Lovell and Donald Hasig talking about this, we're calling all angels. We are here on this phone together doing this radio program, calling all angels. If you care about chemicals in food and people eating the food the worst way they can possibly eat it by eating too much animal fat, there's an issue for you. If you care about the cows that are in these horrible places where they spend their days in darkness and the stench of manure and cow pee
and having their babies ripped from them,
if you care, if the people that are listening to this care about any of that, we're asking you to do something. You know, just you can connect with us if you want to connect with us. You know, my telephone number and email is on the internet.
Yep.
You can connect with us. And if you don't want to connect with us, just do it yourself. You know, just go to those farms, talk to the farmers. The truth of it is, the human word, people talking about things, is the most powerful thing that there is in the whole world.
Yeah.
People talking.
Should I read this little blip from the Harvard Pediatrics thing, or is that not?
Whatever you want to do. This is your interview.
Well, it's the 2012 report in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine. It says the 2012 report in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine must have rattled the dairy industry. Authored by Kendrin Sonneville from Harvard University, the study tracked fracture rates in 6,712 adolescents. The results show that active children who consumed the largest quantities of milk actually had more bone fractures than those who consumed less. In other words, milk doesn't actually build strong bones. Previous studies have shown similar findings. Studies of young women published in the journals Bone and Pediatrics show that bone density was bolstered by physical activity, but that increased calcium intake made no difference. Okay, anyway, so that was that, but this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, and there's
so
the point right there. One of the major claims of the dairy industry, one
yeah.
of the major kind of like basis, you know, the major part of the major basis for, you know, getting people to consume lots of milk, it's not even true.
Yeah. This, it says, when diets go wrong, so does research. The dairy industry's junk science. In America's schools, every lunch tray has a carton of milk on it. That will change if PCRM's petition to the U.S. Department of Agriculture succeeds. PCRM filed the petition because studies clearly show that milk does not build strong bones, nor does it cause weight loss, reduce PMS, or deliver the other supposed benefits the dairy industry has used in media promotions. The science supporting milk for bone health was always shaky, and with a new Harvard study showing zero benefit for children's bones, the argument has crumbled.
Truth coming out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
As the scientists that are good scientists continue to publish their research, you know, it's basically all about, you know, there's people suffering out there. There's people suffering out there, getting sick from all these things. I know this guy by the name of, his name is Dr. Samuel Epstein. He's a professor emeritus at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I think he's in the School of Public Health. He has tried so many times. He, like you speak about the PCRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, their
yeah.
petition to USDA. Well, this Dr. Epstein, he has petitioned the U.S. FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Oh, good.
You know, they've got another. They got a role here. He has tried to get them to do something about the bovine growth hormone.
Oh, yeah.
To no effect. You know, just ignore this person, ignore this scientist that, you know, has been reporting in his, you know, written documents. You know, he's been
yep.
calling upon government to bring an end to the use of the bovine growth hormone. Because
Beautiful.
Of the science showing how harmful the exposures to the chemicals that are in the milk produced with the bovine growth hormone, how harmful those exposures are to human beings. But, oh, no, ignore
Beautiful.
This. The Food and Drug Administration, it is not about science. It is not about protecting public health. It is about facilitating the corporate entities that produce food in the United States. And
of course.
And it's all about, here we are, right back to the greed thing.
Yeah.
The government is greedy, so they work with the corporations that are greedy. The abused animals suffer. The abused public getting this horrible food set before it and promoted to consume it. All these things, all this abuse heaped up on top of abuse. And what do you get? Cancer, diabetes, heart disease, bone fractures,
yeah.
all these many, many things. It's called a broken society. You break
yes.
your society by doing all these horrible things. And believe
yes.
me, America is broken. And that's why I'm running for Congress. I'm running for Congress because it doesn't have to be broken. It's only broken for one reason and one reason alone, that we let the greedy people have their way too long. And now,
that's
like no other time
time
in all the time, 2012, end of the world as we know it, the time has come for the animal angels, the cancer prevention angels, the bank reform angels,
the truth,
you know, food supply angels, the truth angels, you know, all the angels that there are to just get into being activist angels, and all they could do is start speaking out where there's other people around, and it'll happen. We'll have a total global spiritual environmental revolution. The cows will be set free. This will all come to a crashing halt, you know, because it's the right thing to do.
That's beautiful, Donald. So
it's
true.
So cool.
Yeah,
it's, so cool. It's
all
true.
Awesome.
Everybody, and the truth is, you know what, Lisa? Everybody knows it's true. Even those
yeah.
farmers, they know that's true. They know
oh,
that's
yeah.
true.
They're
evil. They're evil, and they're greedy. But they
Mike
know
Bush,
what
yeah.
truth is. They know what truth is.
Yep, yep. Mike Bush, who I dropped literature off for about 6 months ago and then was told after that by the police not to contact him again, actually called me and asked me not to contact him again, which I didn't, but he read my literature, and he told my friend David that he agrees and she's right. What she says is true. He knows the truth. He keeps cows in one of these filthy, overcrowded manure pits. But he, like you just said, they know the truth. Because it hasn't always been this way. Like you said, when you were younger, the people you knew that kept cows had 5 or 6 or 10 cows. The babies would take the milk, and then the people who kept the cows would take the milk also. But anyway, these people today are from generations of dairy farmers, and it wasn't always like this.
There's got to be something done about this. My whole life,
Donald, excuse me, on this phone line, can we ask people who are interested in doing an Occupy in Plattsburgh or the surrounding area to contact us?
Awesome. Very, very, very good idea. Very, very, very good idea. Okay. So my contact information, well, you go ahead. You thought of it. You give them whatever contact information you want to give for yourself, or they can get in touch with me, and I'll...
Yeah, they can get in touch with you, because I don't have an email address.
Okay.
I mean, they're free to call me if they want. But if we could call all protectors of the animals, you know, anybody who cares about the suffering of the animals and who's interested in helping, will you please call Donald at his number or email address, or my phone number is 518-597-4581, 518-597-4581, or you can reach me through Donald's email address or his number, right?
Yep, and my email address is real easy. My name is Donald Hasig, and that's what my email address is, donaldhasig@gmail.com.
D-O-N-A-L-D-H-A-S-S-I-G,
horse, apple, seal, seal, ibex, giraffe. That's my last name, @gmail.com. No dots
at
on the left-hand side. And that's my email address. My phone number is 315-262-2456. 315-262-2456. And, I would be happy, Lisa will be happy, we'll be joyous to connect with other animal angels and cancer prevention angels, any angels that can see a connection to occupying McDonald's, occupying Burger King, occupying Subway, occupying Walmart, occupying, the restaurants, occupying, there's a place called the Butcher Block, occupying that place, occupying the Texas Roadhouse. There's so many purveyors of animal fat there in Plattsburgh. We're going to do an Occupy Plattsburgh soon, not right away. Let's just get together. Talk about this on the email and the phones. I've got a Facebook page. It's Donald Hasig. You go on Facebook and search for Donald Hasig. Yeah, you got me on Facebook. We have a lot of ways of communicating. Americans are good at talking. We're good at doing things. We're the best in the world at talking and doing things. That's why we do so much talking and doing things. And it's time. It's time for the angels among us to get active, because the reason we're in this hole we're in right now, in everything fracked up, reason we're in that hole is because the good people were just not as active as the bad people. We got behind, and now we're way behind, and it's time to turn it around. Right now, start turning it around. And we can do
Donald,
it. The good people coming out in the streets.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. This month is Cancer Awareness Month. So we know, like you've told me, and we know that the persistent organic pollutants. Do you want to talk about that in the animal fats?
We can jump into that some here, because it's a good time to do it. It's very much an Occupy McDonald's kind of deal.
Well, Occupy anywhere that sells the dairy, ice cream, the milk.
Yeah, we could do an Occupy Dairy Queen. That's just it's all over. The truth of it is, we are living in a time when the consumption of animal fat, the quick, easy consumption of animal fat, the fast food is animal fat.
Yeah.
We are living in a time where this has gone way too far, and that is why we have the breast cancer epidemic we have. That's why we have the childhood cancer rates rising. That's why we have the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma rates rising.
Diabetes,
and it's all about science.
I am
a scientist. The scientific literature says that persistent organic pollutants, which include dioxins and PCBs and brominated flame retardants, and Myrex and toxaphene and hexachlorobenzene and hexachlorocyclohexane, all these man-made toxic chemicals that cause cancer. They're contaminants of animal fat because they are fat-soluble. They are in the food supply to the extent that the World Health Organization, in 2010, the World Health Organization published the most important report that's been published probably in all of time. Its title is Persistent Organic Pollutants, Impact on Child Health. Persistent Organic Pollutants, Impact on Child Health, WHO 2010. Any parent that wants to save their kid from getting these horrible diseases, they must read this. It's on the internet. All you can do is Google WHO, 2010, Persistent Organic Pollutants, Impact on Child Health. They only have to have a half an hour to do this. It's only 50-some pages. There's a Chapter 7 that is the recommendation. The recommendation is minimize. Everybody that's got a role in health, take action now to minimize. That means bring it down to virtual elimination of exposure. Minimize the exposure of children to persistent organic pollutants. And the highlighted strategy in this report, the highlighted prioritized strategy in this report is to restrict consumption of animal fat. It's all there.
Excellent.
It's all there. It's all
excellent.
There. And see, this is the connection. I have interviewed a Dr. William Suk. It's William S-U-K. It's pronounced like look. William Suk. He works for the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. He is an expert on the persistent organic pollutants. He has been traveling the world attending conferences on the scientific literature of the exposures to the persistent organic pollutants as contaminants of animal fat and the diseases that come of these exposures, the epidemiology, the animal studies, you know, the rat studies, all the human studies with the epidemiology, all this huge volume of scientific literature. In my interview, he says this: the reason the WHO wrote their report is because the volume of scientific literature became so vast and so huge, it could not be avoided writing that report, no matter how much pressure there was from the corporations not to write their report. It was so powerful. He said it. I said, so what are the health problems, the most concerning raging health problems of the POPs? He said they cause breast cancer. They cause breast cancer. And here we are, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It shouldn't be that.
Donald.
It should be Breast Cancer Prevention Month. It should be warn the parents and the children that persistent organic pollutants are contaminants of animal fat. Don't eat the hot dogs month. Don't eat the hamburgers month. Don't eat the chicken fat month. This is about science coming out. Once people have read their report in significant numbers, this month in America will be come to be called don't eat the hamburgers and don't eat the hot dogs and don't
Thank
eat the chicken
God,
fat
Donald.
Month. Yeah,
Thank God.
It will be. It will be. It will be.
What
this,
is the source
this month
for
is going to change. It's going to be a cancer prevention month, not a cancer
Every
detection
month.
Every
single month of the year.
Say what?
Yeah, every single month of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What
there
the
ought to be.
Of,
it could be endless.
Donald, what is the source of that information again from Dr. Suk?
I have this interview that we are creating right now.
Yeah.
It is part of a series that I call Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. One of the, I think it's the, maybe the prior, I think two interviews prior to this one right here is my interview on Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. It's on www.radio4all.net. I am the contributor that I call myself is Cancer Action Network. You know, Cancer Action Network contributor to radio4all.net. Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution is the name of the show. And there's an interview with Dr. William Suk of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. And that interview is on the World Health Organization report titled Persistent Organic Pollutants, Impact on Child Health. You know, why did they write it? What does it say? What have people got to do, you know?
Boy.
Yep, it's all out there. It's all out there. The Internet, you know, viva the Internet. Viva the animal angels. Viva the cancer detective, cancer prevention angels. This is all happening. 2012, end of the world as we know it, because it's already happened. Truth of it is, this has been happening. It's happening faster and faster. End of the world of abusing cattle to make a buck, you know. End of the world of lying about what causes cancer to please the corporations. It's over. This is so cool, you know. This is so cool.
Thank God for your voice, Donald.
Yeah, I love it. I love speaking is so wonderful. You know, it's the most beautiful thing that a human being can do. Is the truth of it.
Yeah.
Well, that and dancing. I love dancing and I love speaking out. It's just it's so powerful. I was at SUNY Potsdam College, my alma mater, yesterday, where I graduated summa cum laude in biology and chemistry, and I'm dancing and speaking out, and there were crowds of students gathering around me, and we were talking about the POPs. We were talking about the Breast Cancer Awareness Month that should be the Breast Cancer Prevention Month. We were talking about doing a revolution, because the truth of it is, until we do a totally nonviolent, totally spiritual, totally loving the earth and the animals and health and all the children and the good stuff revolution, until we do that revolution, the scientific knowledge will exist, and it'll help some people, but it won't help near enough people, because the government is controlled by the corporations, and the corporations want to keep the public in the dark about this, and we have to do a revolution on them to get our government working for us, because that's how this message should be coming out, the people working together with the government, not the people fighting with the government, because the corporations ruin the government.
Yeah, so cool.
I'll tell you, it is so exciting. See, this is it. Activists getting together. You and me getting together made this happen right here. I would never have known about you
if it weren't for the Press Republican.
With the Press Republican. They're a good newspaper.
Yeah.
They're a damn good newspaper. Joe LaTemplio has written some really good articles about me. He's a really good guy, you know. I love him. He's a newspaper angel. He's a really good guy.
Oh. Donald?
Yep.
Are you there? Okay.
Yep.
I don't want to lose you.
Yep, this is going good. This is going so good. Let's just stop for a moment. Let's just have a moment of silence, and both of us just think if there's anything more, you know, because we're getting close to our end of our interview here. You know.
Okay.
So let's just stop. Let's just have a moment of silence and just cast back through our minds and think if there's anything more that we want to add in like the last 5 minutes.
Yes, I would like to add just two more things. Well, I'd like to add a lot more, but only just like immediately two more things. Are you there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to ask anyone who listens to this or who's hearing this now to please call 202-456-1111, that's the White House, and demand that the brutal slaughter, shipment and slaughter of American horses to Mexico and Canada be outlawed. Ask your congressmen, your senators, your lawmakers in Washington, your local representatives to please support the Equine Prevention Cruelty Prevention Act, and to outlaw the brutal slaughter of American horses.
Give us the name of the act again.
It's called the Act. I forget the number. H.R. Act. The Equine Cruelty Prevention Act.
Equine Cruelty Prevention Act. Okay. Yes. I want to add that to my campaign on platform, you know, that
yes,
I will be proposing
to
do this legislation.
Ask your lawmakers to please support that and to outlaw the brutal slaughter of American horses. Also to please ask people, anyone who's listening, to please call 202-456-1111. That's the White House comment line. To please ask your friends and family members to call and ask the White House that they pass the Great Ape Protection Act, and to outlaw the practice of vivisection. That's V-I-V-I-S-E-C-T-I-O-N, to outlaw the practice of vivisection and to pass the Great Ape Protection Act.
So what is vivisection?
Vivisection is the live dissection of unanesthetized animals.
How can people be that horrible?
Well, the sadists are alive and well, and so this is the very, very serious problem. Please, if you can call again, that number is 202-456-1111, and demand the outlawing of the slaughter of beautiful American horses and also the outlawing of the practice of vivisection.
And the Great Ape Protection Act.
Yeah, you can contact the National Anti-Vivisection Society if you're interested in helping to prevent the horrifying practice of vivisection on live animals in medical universities. There are humane and scientifically valid and viable alternatives. Did I say humane? Yes. methods to teaching medical students. But the military is very guilty of also of using live animals for trauma, teaching trauma.
Occupy the military.
Yeah, the military is very bad. The national or the in Virginia Beach, Virginia, the U.S. Coast Guard performed recently the disembowelment of a live goat, and they were, you know, people were laughing. But anyway, you can call the U.S. Coast Guard in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and express your outrage at the use of live goats in trauma training. But there are pigs used and dogs and other animals, cats. So it's endless, but there's so
endless,
much we can do to help.
Yeah, and the abuses that human beings can impose upon animals are endless.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time, Americans, to think about this and make up your own mind. You know, what are you about? Are you about just turning your face away from this and letting it go on, or are you about occupying and occupying and occupying and speaking out and speaking out and being the animal angel that is inside you to be, you know.
And if people can't afford the phone call, if they have the internet, the information is all on the internet regarding vivisection, abuse in the dairy industry, you know, the slaughter of American horses, Donald. It's all there.
It's all there.
We can write letters. Letter writing is very effective and useful.
Yeah, go on the president's website, and I'm sure there's a form there for, you know, writing a nice, brief, strong, good note to the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama, asking him to
5 days a week.
Do
these 5 days a week. They will take your live comment. You know, if you can call. But anyway, there's a lot we can do. But
well, this has been awesome. It's been awesome. So I'm thinking. Let me think a second here. I don't have anything more to say. You said it all. You know, we've done this. It's done. It's a perfect interview. It's a calling all American angels interview.
Yeah.
This has been Donald Hussig and Lisa Lovell. Lisa is an animal angel. I'm, you know, getting more into being an animal angel,
and
I'm a cancer prevention angel.
We're into this. An animal angel as well, you are.
Yep, we're into this, and we're hoping that other people will get into it. It's 2012. There never was a time like this for bringing great change. This has been Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. It's on www.radioforall.net. Please listen to this, and then once you listen to it, think about it. Think. Four-letter word, T-H-I-N-K, five-letter word. Five-letter word, it's so easy. Just do it. Connect all these dots, do it until you start feeling, I'm going to do something about this, and then do it, and we will change the world. It's happening.
Yes.
We'll change the world.
And you can purchase threefold display boards for a very nominal cost at you know, Walmart or any of the big box stores, and you can do your own occupies. You don't have to meet with Donald and I. You can occupy in your own towns.
Yeah, the threefold display boards are just totally awesome. You put that big message there, and you walk into a place that's got something to do with your issue, and you occupy them, and they're thinking about it, and you're talking to people about it, and you're doing it.
Yes, and we don't want people to get arrested, so you want to go in and occupy, you know, the store and put out your message about the persistent organic pollutants and animal fats and animal cruelties. When we eat animals, we promote animal cruelty and suffering, so we want everyone to please make cruelty-free, healthy, humane food choices. But when you walk into an establishment and the owner asks you to leave, then you need to leave, because if you don't and the police are called, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Donald, you can be arrested, right, for trespassing then?
Trespass, yep. So if you don't want to get arrested, just get out of there before the cops come. But if you do want to get arrested and just go that far, wait for them. They'll do it.
Right.
You just tell them, I won't back down because it's the truth,
it's
and I'm going to say it.
Cause. Right, it's for a beautiful, good, very good cause.
Yep,
so
it gets more and more exciting all the time. You know, this is so cool.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Donald.
Viva the revolution. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. I'll call you at home. Bye-bye.